Most of you are aware of this. If in case you missed some of this, it is on the website. September 9th, I think, was the day we gave a long, you know, all the information. So if you missed that, you want to go back and watch that. We need $55,000 is the cost to remodel. And so far, we have received $18,294. Praise the Lord. So there's room for more to give. And I just want to remind you some of the things I told you about in the past. There's a soldier in Turkey that sent $1,000 through the GoFundMe. The copier man gave $2,200. Some people on the other side of the planet, a couple that love our church, gave $5,000. And you can share it on GoFundMe. What we'd like you to pray about is just think about people in your circle of friends, family, people that would, you know, like to give to things. It's a great project. People that know you and know that this is a good cause, just share it with them. Just like, you know, $1,000 came from a soldier in Turkey because Dustin shared it on his thing and he saw that. So that's something you can do. If you're not familiar with Facebook and GoFundMe, you can see Pastor Mike or Michael Cranes. They'll show you how to do that. And you can share it with people. You can tag them. And just then it's the ball's in their court. And people have been jumping in and giving gifts. So that's a way for us to expand, you know, our influence and to reach out to other people. So praise the Lord. So there's room for more to come in. Just keep praying about that, your part to doing that, and share it with some other people. Well, there are some sermon notes in your worship guide, but if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers have some extra copies they would love to hand out to you. Hey, wasn't Allie Croy awesome last week? Man, what a great message. Wow, what an incredible speaker she is, and just, wow, it was just great. If you missed that, you can watch it on the website. And someone got saved in that service. We had some, yeah, give the Lord a hand. We had some baby dedications, and Richard's brother came, and he checked on the box. I want to commit my life to Christ. So, brother. Oh, your brother. Oh, Katie's brother. Okay. All right. Katie's brother. That's right. Got saved. Praise God. That's what we're all about as a church. We want to see people make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Then he lives in South Florida, so we sent him some information on how to find a great church in his area. And that's what we do. So if someone's not from the area, we try to help them discern what their next step should be. So we want to win souls, make disciples. Hey, before we get into our message, I want to tell you about this mother that was waking up her son. Sunday morning, she said, "Son, you got to get up. It's time to go to church." He said, "I ain't going to church today." She said, "You are going to church." He said, "No, I'm not going to go to church." And she said, "Well, why aren't you going to go to church?" He said, "I'll give you three reasons." He says, "The service is too long. The messages are boring, and nobody over there likes me." She said, "Well, that's not true." And he said, "Yes, it is." She said, "Give me two reasons why I should go to church." He said, "All right, you're 45 years old, and you're the senior pastor. Now get up and go to church." So the title of my message is Three Things. So I want to give you three things today to take home with you that I hope and believe they'll help you in your life, will help you this week. If you do them, if you think about them, they'll just help you. Anybody here ever get anxious or worried or have fear? Yes. All right? I do. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is one of my like default settings. I worry, and I'm working on it. Come on, don't look at me like that. I'm working on it. I'm not okay with it. But I realized that is a weakness that I have. Do you realize we all have weaknesses? And I was thinking about it this week, how awesome it is that I don't have to stand up here on Sunday and pretend like I don't have any issues and I don't have any problems and I don't struggle with things, because we're all on a journey. Amen? And I'm not the doctor. Jesus is the doctor. It's kind of like this. Jesus created the church. Man did not create the church. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said to the disciples, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Church is a good thing. You made a wise decision to come here today, to be connected to other people. The devil doesn't want you here. The devil doesn't want people in church. Now, even if people are Christians, they're not going to fulfill their destiny outside of being connected with other believers. That's just the way it works. But church, I'm glad, you know, Jesus gave us instructions on how it works. I'm glad I'm not the doctor. And sometimes we get that wrong. You know, we think, oh, the leaders of the church, they're going to solve all my problems. No. We're plainly going to tell you, Jesus is the answer. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. And we're all in this together. I'm in this with you guys. You know, we're all in the same hospital, and there's only one doctor. His name is Dr. Jesus, and we're just encouraging each other to keep taking our medicine. How many of you know the Bible says that the Word of God is our medicine, and saying the right things and doing the right things helps us to get better quicker? Come on. So we're all in the same hospital. And the leaders in the church, we're not the doctors. There's only one doctor. There's only one great physician. His name is Jesus. And we're all on this journey together. And when we come together on Sunday, we're coming together to encourage one another to hang in there, keep checking in with the doctor, keep taking your medicine, keep living right. And we're just encouraging one another. And today's message comes from my own struggle with worry. So I'm just being honest with you. And something, scriptures that I always come back to. Now, first I'm going to read this whole passage in Philippians chapter 4. And then we're going to break it down verse by verse. First, I want to get the whole thing, and then we'll come back and look at it. So let's start in verse 4, Philippians 4, 4. Paul, he's in prison, and he's writing to a church that he planted in Philippi. It's modern-day Turkey. And he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again." This is from the New International. "I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many like the peace of God? That's the opposite of what you have when you're worried. You don't have peace. So he said, you got to get from the worry, you got to get to the peace. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We want to be led forth by peace. We want to live in peace. Christmas is coming up. It's peace. And it's all about peace. Jesus brings peace in the world. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And here's the battle. This is our thinking. "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And here's what's going to happen. The God of peace will be with you." So let's go back and look at it verse by verse. To start it off, you see where we're going with this thing and what the encouragement is, what Paul is saying, what God is saying to us. We want to have a life of peace. He's going to tell us how to get it. And this is why whenever I struggle with worry and fear, I come back to this. I always come back. I've read this thousands and thousands of times. It's just like if you got some kind of ailment. I know sometimes people have indigestion, right? And they take this pill. And it's like 100% of it, as soon as you take it, it works, right? That's what this is for me. When I come to the Word, when I'm getting worried. Now, if I just stay in my thoughts and in my thinking and trying to figure it out, I get more and more worried. But if I just stop and go, and if I'm driving the car, I go to this in my mind. Because I've got it etched indelibly upon my corpus callosum. I've got it there where I can pull it at any time. But if I can, I'll get the, even though I can quote it to you word by word, I like to open my Bible and look at it. And somehow the Holy Spirit takes those words and puts peace on my soul and makes the worry go away. I'm telling you, it happens. It works. I'm just giving my testimony. If they have a medicine and somebody says, yeah, it worked for me. I'm telling you, this medicine works for me. And I believe it will work for you too. Here's how it works. Starts with this. Rejoice. That's a decision. You see, when you're worried about something, you're not in joy. You're not rejoicing. So what I see here is it's a decision just to change my thinking. And why would I rejoice? Because I believe I'm going to get through this thing. That's how I can rejoice, because I say to myself, you know what? Look back on all the other times you were worried and you thought for sure we were going down and we're not going to make it. You made it. I'm still here. I'm still in the battle. I'm still in the fight. I'm still going, you know, and I say, God brought me through before. He's going to get me. It's just, this test is going to turn into a testimony. This mess is going to turn into a message. God's going to bring me through this thing, and that's why you can rejoice. That's why you have to rejoice, and that's where you start right there, is you get yourself out of the mully grubs and out of what your negative thinking, and start thinking that God's going to get me through this just like he's got me through everything else. You start right there. Start with your thinking. You start by saying rejoice. I've found out it's almost like a switch. I've found out it's just like flipping something and just telling myself, just get out of there and get over here. Because it actually is possible that you can do that. Rejoice. And who do you rejoice in? In the Lord. You see, if I'm depending on myself, that's why I worry. And that's why I am worried. Because I realize I'm thinking, how am I going to get myself out of this situation? And I can rejoice in the Lord because I say, I'm not going to get myself out of this situation. God is going to get me out of this situation. Yes. Rejoice in the Lord. And how often do you have to do that? In what kind of situations? What's the next word say?
Always.
So when is that? When is it not that? No matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. There it is, right there. It's an absolute statement. Always. You don't have an excuse for not rejoicing because he said always. Yeah, but. No. There's no yeah, buts here. No, it's always, always, always. Wherever you find yourself, that's always, and whoever you find yourself, and you don't like where you're at, you don't like what you're thinking, you don't like the emotions and the stuff that's going through you. Did you know when you worry, scientists will tell you, you release stuff into your body that begins to destroy your body. The longer you worry, the more it eats at you. And it destroys your antibodies, it destroys your resistance, it creates bad things in your body. And that's why he said, you got to do this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, I'll say it again. That's as if you didn't get it the first time, because he's just trying to say, this is how important this is for me and you. He says, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. That's how simple it is. Rejoice. Just go ahead. Yeah, but you don't know. No, I'm say it again. Rejoice. Always. Let your gentleness, I like the New American Standard in this, says forbearance or patience. See, because patience, you have to be gentle and forbearing and patient, because the answer might not come when you told God it should come, but it's going to come. You have to be patient. You have to stay there. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. The challenge is between the amen and the there it is. You know what I mean? So as you pray this prayer and you say amen, the challenge is between amen and there it is when the answer comes. The challenge is between amen and there it is. Faith and patience. That's where you need patience. Forbearance. Hang in there. Stay with it. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. There it is again. He's just trying to tell us, you got no excuse, you got no way out. There is no opportunity, there's no situation that can be created in your life where this does not apply. Do not be anxious about anything, but in, there it is again, everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
And everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So that's my three things that we're going to look at. Here they are, the three things, time of message, three things. I'm going to focus on these three things today. And I believe if you take this to heart and take notes and think about this and apply that this week, you'll be better next week than you were last week. Three things. Here's the three things. Number one that we mentioned right there, we're just going to take them, we're going to dig into them. Number one is what? Prayer. Number two that he said was petition. I want to see what actually that is. And number three is thanksgiving. Now, this is November. Thanksgiving is coming up. What a better time to start thinking about what Thanksgiving really means. It's not a one-day-a-year event. Come on. It's a lifestyle. And we'll look at some examples of this today in the Bible. How many of you are glad you're here today? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Especially glad the Holy Spirit's here. Number one, prayer. What is prayer? Did you ever wonder why pray? I've wondered this. Why pray, especially if, you know, isn't God in control and, you know, doesn't have everything under control and knows what's going to, you know, why do I need to pray? Well, Jesus instructs us many times in Scripture to pray. And the reason you pray is that you are a free moral agent. You have free will. You have volition. You have the ability to choose. And so you got to get your mouth hooked up saying the right things. Prayer changes things. You see, God has set up, He is over all, but He's allowed us to make decisions. When people do stupid things, that wasn't God making them do stupid things. It's when people do evil things, it wasn't God making them do evil things. It's the fact that He's given us free will. And prayer is like that. We use our free will to hook up with God, to line up with God. We need prayer to get our thinking straight. Prayer is very important. There are things that hang in the balance. There are things that God has set in His sovereign will that are going to happen, but who goes certain places and what happens is up to us. That's clear through Scripture. Deuteronomy 30:19. He told people, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that you may live. It's a choice. So you got to make a choice. So prayer is a choice. Prayer changes consequences, changes events, changes future, changes things, change your body, change your mind, change your finances, prayer. Proverbs 18:21 puts it this way, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Really? So God has put things in our hand. He is sovereign, but we're also sovereign over our life. We choose heaven and hell. God didn't choose that for us. We choose to go to heaven or we choose to go to hell. We choose to accept what He offered or to reject it. That's our choice. God doesn't make that choice. That's free will. And He says right here, death and life. Now, how many want death? Nobody? How many want life? All right? It's not like a vote. It's what comes out of our mouth. We're creating one or the other by what comes out of our mouth. So that's what we're looking at in this prayer and petition with thanksgiving makes a difference of what we're going to experience tomorrow and next week and the next week. If we don't like what we've been experiencing, the first thing to look at is our mouth. What have we been creating with our mouth? What have we been calling into existence? What have we been speaking into existence? Jesus said, if you would just speak to the mountain to be removed and cast into the sea and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that whatever you say will come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. That's Jesus. Mark 11:24. Jesus said we can speak things into existence. And that's what Proverbs is saying. Death is giving us the two sides of this. Not only can you speak good things, you can also speak bad things. Watch it. Watch what you say. Don't keep telling everybody nothing ever works out for me, because guess what? Nothing's ever going to work out for you. Start saying, if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. Bless God, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. If God's on my side, who can stop me? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Start saying scriptures that they apply to you just like they do everybody else. Start speaking what the Bible says you can have. I'm blessed. I'm the blessed of God. Blessed is the man that does not walk in. And you say that about yourself. You say 1,000 may fall. Oh, everything's going. Everybody's getting killed and dying. And you just say in your heart, well, bless God, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not approach me. Well, you're just speaking the word of God. And death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you creating? What seed are you planting? Right? If you plant corn seed, what are you going to get? Right? So if we plant negativity and fear and doubt and death, what are you going to get? More of the same? That's just the law of nature. That's the way it works. So you have to speak faith. You have to speak positive things, the things that God has said in His Word that you have a right to that was purchased on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago. It's not that we're anything, it's that Jesus is everything and He has purchased things for us on the cross. It's a gift waiting to be opened and unpacked for you to receive that's already been bought and paid for. Don't leave it under the tree, go get it. There's things that were purchased for us in every area of life, spirit, soul, and body. Isaiah 53 talks about that. Mark 11:24. Okay, so the one I gave you was Mark 11:23. About the mountain. The next verse, 24, says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you, what? Pray. All right? So the devil will come and say, you don't need to pray. Don't pray. You can't change anything. God knows everything. And you know what? No, but Jesus said to pray. Come on. Throughout Scripture, it talks about prayer. And Jesus encouraged us, exhorted us, chided us, told us to pray. You need to pray. I need to pray. We all need to pray. Jesus said, all things for which you pray and ask. Are there some things in your life that you'd like to change? Are there some things that you need? Are there some things that need to be moved? Are there things that you need God's help? This is what it's all about. Pray and ask. Believe that you've received them, and what will happen? They'll be granted you. Do you see the free will in there? You have to speak it. You have to ask it. Don't just sit back. Well, God already knows. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He said, don't use verses 8 and 9, 7, 8, 9. He says, don't use vain repetition like the heathen do. He says, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then this way. So that's the question. Well, if he already knows what I need, maybe I just shouldn't ask. No, he said he knows what you need. That's why you need to ask. Because he's not moved by need, he's moved by faith. So I have to hook up my faith to his power to answer the need. Yeah. Pray then this way. So he said, God already knows, so pray. Pray this so his power can be he wants to release his power on our behalf. And you can't just sit back and wonder why he's not. We're free moral agents. We have to use our free will to release his power in our lives. So what is prayer? Well, it's a lot. But primarily it's talking to God. Talking to God. It's just very simple. Christianity is a relationship. If you have a relationship with somebody, you talk to them, right? Now, when you talk to people, or do you do all the talking, or do you let them speak? Now, some people are like that, you know. You can have a conversation, and you don't even get a word in for about an hour. They just keep talking. But a wise person will speak and will listen. It'll be a two-way conversation, right? That's the way it ought to be with us and God. Yeah, he wants us to dialogue. He wants us to spill the beans, pour out our guts, tell him when you're angry. That's all right. It don't bother him. It don't bother him one bit. If you're mad at him, tell him. But whatever you do, whatever you say to God, stop and listen. Always stop and listen, because he'll speak. If you listen, he'll speak. Jesus said, I know my sheep. My sheep know my voice. Are you a sheep? You know his voice. You'll hear his voice. If we give him a chance, sometimes we go pray. We go in our room. We speak for half hour. Then we get up and leave. Don't even bother to see what the creator of the universe and the person who made us with a purpose and a destiny, what he has to say about the situation. So it's talking. You have to listen. And you know what you'll get when you listen? You'll get wisdom. You'll get guidance. Isn't that what Psalm 23 says? Guides me on the path that I should go in. How does he do that? He speaks. When does he speak? When we pray. And we speak, and then we listen. We listen. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you insight. He'll give you... Did you know he can tell you secrets? Nobody else knows. David said, my time with God makes me wiser than my teachers. I remember Carl Crame shared this. I didn't ask him about this, but he shared it publicly years ago. I'll go ahead. This happened many years ago. He shared the church. This was about, I think, 10, 12 years ago. He said he had some money in the stock market, some investments, and he was just praying every morning like he normally does, and the Lord said, sell it all. So what did he do? He did it. He obeyed. He sold it all. And that was just before the market crashed. Now, and then when he looked back, he said when he looked back at the graph of his stocks, he sold exactly at the high point, the highest that it... And it went down and up and down, and eventually it went and tanked down to just a fraction of what it was. Now, did an expert stand there and tell him this is Wayne? Yeah, it is an expert. It's God who will reveal secrets. How did he know that? Does he have to be an expert? Do you have to be an expert in everything? No, you just need to listen to God. He'll fix it. I remember one time I was trying to dig this stump up with my tractor, with the bucket, and... Doggone it, I couldn't get it up. It was frustrating me. And I finally just stopped and I said, I asked God. And he told me, you're doing it the wrong way. He did. He said, do it this way. And I changed the way I was trying to dig it up, and boom, it came right out. Does God know how to dig up stumps? Yeah.
Does God know how to protect your investments? Does God know how to fix your life and tell you what's going to happen? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows, and he'll reveal those secrets. When you pray and actually pray and talk and listen, he'll tell you secrets that nobody knows, that he knows. He knows the end from the beginning. The second thing, so the first thing was prayer. The second thing that I think is very important, and it's kind of like the main thing that I felt like we needed to hear today, is this number two is petition. What is a petition? Here's a dictionary definition. It's a written request, an appeal to a higher authority or being. So it says with prayer and petition. I think this is one that we missed, that I've missed, that I just saw it recently. It's like, now I've done this before in the past, but God convicted me, be more consistent. Write it down. Write it down. I want to encourage you to go home today, write down what it is. That's what a petition is. That's the definition. A written request. It's a request, an appeal to a higher authority or being. That's God, right? He's the highest authority or being. Write down, did you ever stop and think and articulate what it is that you're believing God for? And I want to encourage you to go write it down and stick it in your Bible. And when you get up every morning to pray and read your Bible, remember that list and go back to that list and bring it before God. Remember the story he talked about, the unjust judge and the widow? It said the judge was unjust and he didn't want to give her, but because she persisted, he finally... There's something about that. That's God's encouraging us not to quit praying, not to give up on your request and say, well, it didn't happen when I thought. I'll just roll that up and throw it. No, don't ever throw it in the trash. Keep believing. Keep standing. Keep going to that. Write it down. That's what I'm encouraging you today. Write it down. Make a list. Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. What does that mean? Write it down, that the one who reads it may run. Yeah? You got a race to run. Hebrews 13 says, Hebrews 12:1 says, since we're encumbered about by such a great cloud of witnesses, did you know you got people that you love in your life that have gone on before you? And they're witnesses. What is a witness? They're watching. They're watching you. They're believing. They're praying for you. They're rooting you on. We're encumbered about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You've got a race to run. Write it down. No, remember, keep going. Keep running that race. Keep running. Keep running your race, that the one who reads it may run. See, that shows what I need to keep on. There'll always be things that you have to believe for. You'll never come to a place on planet Earth where you have no more needs and nothing, where there's no more resistance, because we have a devil who's resisting us. That's okay. That's what we're supposed to be right now. That's why you need your faith. Heaven is not on earth. We pray for God's will to be on earth as in heaven, but this is never be heaven, because there's no end. There's no devil in heaven. There's no sin. There's no curse. There's no pain in heaven. On this life, you've got to keep using your faith. Matthew 7:7, Jesus again, he said, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. What are all three of those words? They're action verbs, this action that I have to take. It's things for me to do. Ask, seek, knock. Now, you don't just sit back and go, well, God knows what I need. No, no, no. Jesus is telling us we have a part to play in bringing about the answer to our prayer. There's things that you and I have to do. Ask, seek, knock. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Yeah, number three is thanksgiving. This is a part that we miss. We even if we get to this, we pray, we make our petition, and then we leave it. No, 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 no. Don't leave it there. The third part, very, very, very important. Thank him. Start thanking him. Thank him in advance for the answer. Thank him with your list. Write your list down this week. Make your list. Pray over it every day. And then don't stop there. Don't just stop with the petition. Got to go to the next, and I got to go to number three. You can begin to thank him. That's faith. Thanking him that it's going to happen. Therefore, all things which you pray and ask, believing that you have received it. You're believing, okay, when you pray, if you really believe, it's so why not act like it already happened? What would happen? How would you act when the answer comes? Do that now. Because that shows that you actually believe it's going to happen. That's that. Thanking, that's that statement of faith statement right there.
Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. How many want to please him? Oh, we're going to have to live in faith. Faith always means there's a gap between what we want and what we need and what we have, right? There's a gap. That's you're going to be in faith. You have on this earth, you have to use your faith. There's always going to be a gap. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, there's faith again, must believe that two things. He is, and not only that, not just that he is, but he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. That's you. He's going to reward you. You got to believe that. You got to believe that about God. That's without faith, it's impossible that he wants that. Not only that he is, he's self-existent, but also he cares about you and your problems. He's a rewarder. Say that with me. He's a rewarder. Say, God wants to reward me. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 6:12, going back, says, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through, here we go, I told you at the beginning, faith. How do you receive? Faith, and not just faith. No, because anybody can have faith for a second. I've done that. It's like, yeah, I'm going to have it. Tomorrow is the test, and the next day is the test. And 5 years later, oh, yeah, some things will take 5 years. You know what? Some things will take 10 years. You know what? Some things will take 20. Oh, you're getting discouraged. No. By faith and patience, you'll inherit the promise. God knows when you can handle it. God knows when you need it. It'll never be a day early or a day late. It'll be right. Just don't quit believing. It's things I've been believing for over 30 years. Some things I've seen happen instantaneously. Some things took a short while. Some things took a long while. And some things I'm still believing for. Don't ever give up. By faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Talk to God, what we said so far. Listen to God. Tell him what you need. Make a list of your problems. Make a list of your needs. Make a list of your petitions. Then end up thanking him for the answer. Always, always, always end up thanking him. How do you remember King David? David, we like to talk about David. Well, you know about David. He's a mighty warrior. He killed Goliath. He killed a lion and a bear. He was a poet. He was a singer. He was a king. And we think of all these great things about David. And you know, but David, what I like about David, he was very honest about the struggles that he went through. I love to read the things about David killed his mighty man. I love 2 Kings where it says, in Ziklag, he came back and David strengthened himself in the Lord. But I love how transparent David is. Look at this in Psalm 13. He unveils the whole thing. It's the same thing that you and I go through. He had some struggles in his life. Look at this in Psalm 13, which is a psalm of David. He says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? That's that mighty warrior. That's that mighty man after God's own heart, the man of faith and victory. Have you ever been here? Have you ever been where David is? Have you ever felt like that? How long, Lord? You're going to forget me forever? No, he's not going to forget you forever. Now watch how he gets out of this. Now watch this. The hole gets deeper. How long will you forget me for? How long will you hide your face from me? Ever felt like that? How long, verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my own soul? You're not helping me. I'm just trying to strengthen myself. I'm here all by myself, God. Having sorrow in my heart all the day. Anybody ever been there? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? You ever felt like, oh boy, the enemy's winning this one. Consider and answer me. He's just being honest. You know, it's okay to talk to God. You can't scare God. Consider and answer me, O Lord. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. It's getting deeper here. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. Now watch this. He doesn't stop there. Don't ever stop there. Don't ever stop with your complaint. It's okay to complain, but don't stop there. What's the next word? There's some big butts in the Bible. That's one of them right there. All right? If he had stopped before this butt, he'd have just stayed right there. Now watch this. This is what made David who he is. This is what made David victorious. This is what gets you through. Go ahead and make your complaint, but do what he did right here. But,
Now look at this. He doesn't have the answer yet because he just said he's sorrowing, he's pining away, his enemy's triumphing over him. He doesn't understand how long. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. I've done it before. I'll do it again. I trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall, where did we start off with this thing in Philippians 4, the first word, rejoice. Yep, same thing. It worked for David thousands of years ago. It'll work for you. He said, I'm going to rejoice. I'm sitting here in my own self. I'm saying, how long? It's dismal. It's not going to work. But he turned it all around. But then he says, I got to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. And that's his breakthrough right there, right back where Paul is telling us. Rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Not because I have the answer, but because I know he's the answer and he's going to supply it. Don't end with how long. Back to where we were in Philippians chapter 4. Let's pick it up there. And the peace of God, verse 7. See, if we do this, if we pray and petition with thanksgiving, here's what's going to happen. Here's where I want you to end up. Here's what's going to happen to you as we start doing this. Look at this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind. That's where worry, that's where anxiety sets in, your heart and your mind. And the peace, when we do these three things, when we pray, when we make our list, and we start to thank God, here's what happens. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he gives us some instructions about the future and what to do with your mind and how to guard your mind. Look at this. This is important. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Watch what you think about. Think about these things. Think about good things. You know, how many times do we let our minds go after the wrong things? You watch the wrong movies or listen to the wrong people, you read the wrong books and the wrong articles and the wrong magazines, and you start following after that thinking. Catch it and test it with this list right here. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. If it's not one or all of those things, get rid of it. You don't need it. You're heading in the wrong direction. Think about these things. And verse 9, what happens? What's the result of this? Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen put into practice, the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Yeah, he'll be with you. So what did we learn today? What do you got to do? You got to pray. Make a list, a petition. Go ahead and write your list down. Give it to God. And look at that list and begin to thank him. And then for this week, that's a challenge I'm throwing out to you. Look at that list. True. Think about your thoughts. Think about your thoughts. True? Is it truth? Does it line up with the Word of God? Because the devil will throw lies at you, right? He'll throw lies at you. True? Noble? Right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Or is it praiseworthy? Think on such things. And what's going to happen? Peace. You'll be ruled by peace. Never make a decision in your life that you don't have a peace about. If you don't have a peace about it, don't do it. Maybe it's the thing to do, but maybe it's not. If you haven't taken the time, try to never make a decision without asking God. The times I've made mistakes is because I thought I could handle the decision on my own. I didn't need God's help with this thing. Bad idea. Get God's help on everything, and the peace of God will rule your life. You'll make better decisions. You'll be happier, and you'll have better success. Anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, every one of us here right now, we're just examining our life and our thoughts and the things that we think about. And we're just bringing it before you. We're just, you know, we're going to be real honest with you, you know. We think squirrely thoughts. We think negative thoughts. We think defeat, and we sometimes listen to the lies of the devil, or we listen to negative stuff. And Lord, we just repent right now for giving that stuff airtime in our brain, because we don't need it and we don't want it. And we want from now on everything to be pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. We want all these things, the things that you require, to go on in our head and in our mind. And we want to thank you in advance, Lord. We're committing right now to pray like never before, to make a petition, to make a list, to write it down, and then to begin to thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord. And we just remember right now how good you've been to us. We just want to tell you right now how thankful we are for what you've already brought us through. You've saved us. You've healed us. You've delivered us. You've brought us through so many things, Lord. Without you, where would I be? Every one of us, that's our testimony. Where would I be without the Lord rescuing me, saving me? We just commit to walk in your peace and to have your thinking going on in our minds from this day forward. Right now, with every head bowed and eye closed, I got a very important question for everybody today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? I went to church for 20 years and I wasn't a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You say, well, I don't know. I think so, hope so, not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. But yeah, but does anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. That means it comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But if today you mean business with God, you want to make a new start, or get right with God for the first time, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Would you slip up your hand real quick if either one of those two apply to you, and today you're making that decision? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.